Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
On this Sunday morning, I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. This morning on the show, we will, as we normally do on a Sunday, recap some of the stakes action from yesterday. We'll do a little handicapping as well. Towards the bottom of the hour, a little after the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by our friend Frank Vespi from the RacingBiz.com, website that covers racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. And that means Frank was at Laurel yesterday for Maryland Millions Day. Lots of great stakes action yesterday at Laurel. We previewed some of it with Dave Rodman yesterday, who gave out a couple of nice ideas. But we'll get a review of the action this morning, again, a little bit later on from Frank Vespi. So a full hour ahead, a little bit later on today. OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. We'll take a look at some Belmont and some Keeneland and more. So stay tuned for that as well. Also, want to alert you, if you're going to be playing the races today and you'd like to watch races, but it's an NFL Sunday, you want to watch a little football action as well, come on down. Clubhouse Racebook, always a great venue to watch the racing action and all the football action every Sunday throughout the NFL season here at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you wear a jersey, you get in for free. Put your name on one of the squares, maybe you win a jersey or a food voucher. Speaking of which, you can come down and get lunch here too and enjoy the afternoon with racing and football every Sunday through the season, 7-Eleven. Central Avenue in Albany. And again, that's the same location you can come to enjoy Breeders' Cup action as well. And don't forget, you can reserve a Breeders' Cup seat. Give us a call or stop by the Clubhouse Racebook. $5 reserves you a seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday. But also you get that nice glass, nice little rocks glass. I've seen it up close and personal, and it is a very nice promotional giveaway. So again, reserve your seat here for Breeders' Cup Saturday, Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven, Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's jump in and do a little of the stakes recap action. And we will, we're going to start down under. This was our time, actually, Friday night. But the Cox Plate down in Australia is one of the top races down there. It's a grade one event, mile and a quarter. Mooney Valley is the location. And as I say, it was Friday night our time, but there, obviously, it was Saturday afternoon. They're halfway around the world. But I bring this up because it's not often you have a Saratoga to Australia consecutive double, but that's what happened yesterday. We're going to watch a ding-dong battle here with State of Rest and Animo. State of Rest on the outside, Animo on the inside. And State of Rest is just going to get up. I mean, this is a ding-dong battle. Subsequently, there was a claim of foul. The stewards looked for about 25 minutes, upheld the result. But as you saw there down to the wire, it was tight. I think we may also have the photo here of the finish. But as I say, I bring it up because State of Rest in his last start won the Saratoga Derby up at Saratoga. So there is the result. It was very tight. Stewards, as I say, looked for about 25 minutes. I saw a head-on shot, and I didn't call for it to replay because it was it looked like somebody had taken it off their television or something. It wasn't a great shot, but I saw a little bit of the head-on. And it did look like there was some bumping. To me, it didn't look like there was enough for much of a look. But according to the news reports, the stewards did look for about 25 minutes before upholding the result. And again, State of Rest wins the big race down in Australia, the Grade 1 Cox Plate, Group 1 Cox Plate. But in the previous start back on August 7th, won the Saratoga Derby. Was ridden by John Velasquez that day. Was ridden by a local jockey, Saturday down in Australia. But Joe O'Brien, trainee Joe O'Brien, was over here talking a little bit about how fun it was to be in Saratoga and appreciated the hospitality and whatnot when they won the Saratoga Derby, and then winds up down in Australia, wins the Cox Plate. So as I say, it was a unique double, and it had a connection obviously for us up here having won the race at Saratoga. But what a career this kid has had. He's 28 years old, but he seems like a kid, and kind of looks like a kid still, too. But Joe O'Brien puts the Cox plate on his resume, but being European-based, he's also won the Melbourne Cup twice. He won in 2017-2020 the Melbourne Cup. He has won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Turf a couple of years ago, 2019, with Iridesa. He's only been training since 2016, the son of the top European trainer, Aidan O'Brien. And if you remember, Joe O'Brien spent the early part of his horse racing career as a jockey, which he just outgrew. But he was a really good jockey, too. He was the champion Irish jockey a couple years in a row, 2012-2013. He was the champion Irish jockey. Subsequently, he just outgrew that. But immediately went into a training career that has kind of been phenomenal from day one. And as I say, he adds one of the top races down in Australia to the resume. He's won a number of the top races in Europe. He's won one of the top races here in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Turf, and won the race up at Saratoga a few weeks back. So again, just really a phenomenal career for a relatively young guy. It's going to be fun to watch him heading forward throughout the career. And obviously, his father's still training, training at a top level. And he has a brother in the game as well, Donica O'Brien. It'll be fun to see what his bloodlines bring to the game also. But Joe O'Brien, just as I say, so far an absolutely phenomenal career. And it was fun to see, as I say, that Saratoga to Australia double completed on Friday night here, Saturday afternoon down in Australia. All right, let's go a little more local with some of the stakes action. And again, we'll take a look at some of those Maryland Million stakes a little bit later on. But there was two nice stakes at Belmont and Keeneland each yesterday. So let's kick things off by taking a look at the Noble Damsel in New York. Shifty She goes out for Safi Joseph. Pretty much took him all the way around. Went to the front end and just kind of said, catch me if you can. And they couldn't. High Opinion, Tony Dutrow trainee, who is a close-up second choice at 2-1, winds up second. Flower Point winds up third at 13-1. The favorite, Tam here, the number 10 horse, you can see the chicklet kind of going backwards there. And Tam here winds up as, again, the 2-1 choice, a disappointing sixth of eight. But Shifty She taking him all the way around and getting it done at 6-1 in a pretty nice performance. Picks up the grade three Noble Damsel going a mile on the turf. Had come out of a fourth place finish in a Kentucky Downs stake just prior. Had run third in the Della Rose up at Saratoga prior to that. Had been training down at Palmetto's. Notable that Safi Joseph, you know, looked at the condition book and said, hey, let's pop up to New York and give this one a shot. Now we'll head back, according to follow-up articles, head back to Gulfstream, be looking for a stakes race, has one of the stakes races on the schedule down there as well. So Shifty She, again, on the front end yesterday, getting it done at a nice 6-1 price. In the ladder stakes race on the card on Sunday, it was the Hill Prince. I talk about it quite often. The Hill Prince was one of those three-year-old on turf stakes races that I like throughout the year. And I've said it, the three-year-olds on turf, it really starts early down in Florida and bounces around the country. There are nice three-year-old turf races out in Southern California, but all the racing venues seem to have nice three-year-old turf races that make for a fun season for that subdivision. This is one of them, the Hill Prince. For me, I like Soldier Rising, the number 11 horse. That one kind of disappointed as the 8-5 favorite running fifth. But right underneath, I had Public Sector. Chad Brown horse coming off a couple of three-year-old turf stakes wins up at Saratoga in the Hall of Fame in the Saranac, and follows it up, making it three for the last three starts. The number nine horse has to work. And Irod Ortiz said, I had a ton of horse, and I was going to bide my time. But then I realized Never Surprised was not coming back. So I started to work and gets up. Chart Margin is a neck. Never Surprised, who I had in the mix as well for Todd Pletcher, a lightly raced three-year-old that has shown a lot of talent so far, winds up second. And running third at 48-1 was It Can Be Done. Greg Sacco training with Jose Lascano on board, and that made for a decent little trifecta. It was a 3-1 over a 7-1 over that 48-1. The triple for 50 cents was 279. The exacta for a buck was 30. And then the 50-cent triple bounces up to 279 with the 48-1 shot running a big race in third. But it was really the top two that made the exciting finish there. And as I said, the post-race comments from Irad Ortiz was, yeah, I pretty much came out of the turn and felt like, I got a ton of horses here. I'm going to win this race, but I'm going to kind of bide my time before I ask. And then he said, maybe I better not bide my time. That leader is not coming back. So he started to work and just got up by that neck margin. So a nice ride there to get the win for Public Sector. Chad Brown trainee for Klarovich. And as I say, has won the last three starts, the 2 3-year-old stakes on the turf up at Saratoga, Hall of Fame in the Saranac. And then adds the Hill Prince to that 3-for-3 recent record. Now is going to be, again, according to post-race follow-up article, is going to be headed out to Southern California to go in the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby. That's November 27th. And again, another 3-year-old turf race, 3-year-old stakes on the turf, a Grade 1 event, which I know Klarovich won it last year, but I think they've won 2 or 3 of the recent runnings of that, and they will be headed out again with Public Sector. And as I say, never surprised, also talented. Public Sector is now, 5-for-9 with 8 exacta finishes in those 9 starts. The only, dud was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year, where the horse ran 12th. Other than that, has been in the exacta in every finish. That's Public Sector, but never surprised who ran second. This is a nice little runner for Pletcher and Rapoli as well. This horse is now 5 starts, 2 wins, 3 second-place finishes, 2 of those behind Public Sector, so never surprised. Nice little turfer as well. That'll be fun to watch as we progress later this year, perhaps, but maybe into next year. For you're getting to the point where the turf runners have to make decisions about what's still out there, or do we take our break and come back maybe down in Florida, or wait for the turf options to become a little more. We'll see what Public Sector headed out to Southern California, but we'll see what Never Surprised has going. All right, those were the 2 stakes at Belmont. We will take a look at the 2 stakes at Keeneland. And before I get to the 2 stakes, I will mention both of these were part of the late pick 5 at Keeneland, which was our Capital OTB Syndicate team's play yesterday. And congratulations to the Syndicate team. Phenomenal. If you're not familiar with the Syndicates, typically we'll have 20 people on a Syndicate team. Everybody puts in $25. That's $500. Capital OTB puts in another $250. And then we craft a ticket on the play we're looking at. Yesterday it was the pick 5 at Keeneland, but we craft the play based on a consensus from the team members who make selections, send it in. We look for a consensus. So for a modest amount of money, you can get in on a big ticket. And if things work out, it can be a lot of fun. And yesterday it worked out. It's kind of a hit or miss proposition. It can be just the way that the bet works out. And if we've included the right, off the radar horse, and yesterday it did work out, the team had a $50 front running winner in the mix, and you get a $50 winner to pick 5, it's going to pay pretty well. Well, the upshot was the team's ticket hit yesterday for $17,000. So for a $25 investment, everybody on the Syndicate team yesterday walks away with $800 and some. And it was just a fun sequence that kind of worked out. The winner in the last leg was actually paying the best. They were the team was alive to 5 horses in the last leg. And the winner in the last leg, I think, was the best payout, $16,000. And then the team also wound up with some consolation, 4 or 5 tickets to bounce it up over 17,000. But I thought the winner in the last race, if you were watching the show yesterday, I thought that horse was the logical horse Santin coming off a debut win at Indiana Grand. Looked like the logical horse, gets up with a late run and was the best paying of the five that the team had. But again, congratulations to the team. Keep your eyes open for these teams. And next Thursday, the Breeders' Cup Syndicate will open up. Now, this is a little bit different in that it's a little more expensive. There's a bigger team, but Breeders' Cup, obviously, there's opportunities for very nice payouts. We've seen that in the past, certainly. You can find out more information about that Breeders' Cup Syndicate by checking the website, capitalotb.com. But again, the Breeders' Cup team will open up next Thursday. And it's first come, first serve. So if what happened yesterday with the Keeneland team sounds intriguing to you, check out the Breeders' Cup Syndicate, which again will open up next week. And there's a multiple group of bets. It's a much larger pool. It'll be a $5,000 pool amongst the team, a bigger team, a little bit of a bigger investment, but there are also multiple bets on the Breeders' Cup as well. But it, as I say, for a relatively modest investment, you're going to get in on some nice Breeders' Cup tickets. So keep that in mind. Again, opening up next Thursday. All right, now let's get to those stakes at Keeneland. We will take a look first at the Perryville. These are three-year-olds going seven furlongs. I like Pipeline, the number six horse. Kind of disappoints as the 8-5 favorite running third. I was intrigued with Soup and Sandwich. I had that one right underneath. That was the talented runner earlier this year for Mark Cassie and Live Oak. Soup and Sandwich is the number one horse, and that one fades to be last in the field of nine subsequently. The winner is He's My Honey Badger. I didn't pull the trigger on that one, but it was a Brad Cox runner that certainly had run well. And nice ding-dong battle here. Coming up and just missing, again, He's My Honey Badger just holds off the three horse on the outside there. Ram, that one goes out for the coach, Dwayne Lucas, in a really nice performance at 23-1. Pipeline, as I say, disappoints a little bit, running third. But He's My Honey Badger now runs the record to 4 wins, 3 seconds, and a third in 10 career starts. Stepped it up a little bit here, tried Stakes Company last time at Churchill Downs, and ran an okay second, but looked like the horse would have to step it up a little bit against this field, and did step it up. Did have a nice closing run there, kind of from the top of the stretch, and the early runners did fade a little bit. Boca Boy was up with the early pace. Cool Quest was up with the early pace. So it was a little bit of a closing effort from the back of the pack to get it done at the seven furlongs. That's not, especially unusual. But again, you got 6-1 over 23-1, Brad Cox and Dwayne Lucas, and you wound up for $1.97 exacta in there as He's My Honey Badger gets it done in the Perryville. We move on now to the Raven Run, a couple of races later at Keeneland. And in the Raven Run, I like Super Sensational from Mark Cassie and Live Oak. Super Sensational went off at 7-2, winds up fifth. The 5-2 favorite, Obligatory, I had that one right underneath. That one runs sixth, so those two disappoint a little bit, running fifth and sixth. But Caramel Swirl, who I had down in the third spot. Obligatory, again, went off as the favorite, and Obligatory, a Bill Mott runner, but sometimes you have to look at the other runner from a trainer, and Obligatory again goes off at 5-2. Caramel Swirl goes off at 3-1, so slightly the longer priced of the uncoupled entry. And Obligatory was, as I say, the number 13, but the winner from Belmont is the number 8 here. Coming. Looks like Joyce Rocket is going to hold that one off. Oh, and then the last Bob. If you had Joyce Rocket at 24-1, I feel for you because it was just the last Bob where Caramel Swirl got up and got it done. Scylla runs third in there. I will say, if you had Joyce Rocket, I feel bad for you. But for the bankroll team, I feel very good because the bankroll team, I don't believe, was using the number 2 Joyce Rocket. But they did have, obviously, since the ticket scored, they did have Caramel Swirl on there. So the bankroll team, obviously appreciating the result here, having to sweat it out. As I said, you feel like the inside horse is just going to hold on. We're making up ground. Is it going to be? And then, boom, just on the wire. It is the Bob that gets it done for Caramel Swirl. And again, the bankroll team who needed that one to help them get on their way to that $17,000 pick five score yesterday. Once again, congratulations to the bankroll team. A lot of fun. All right, that takes us through some of the stakes action. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll do a little bit of handicapping for this afternoon. And then a little bit later on, Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com will join us and we'll recap some of the Maryland Millions action. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick 6 payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Excuse me. Let's take a look at the late pick four at Belmont. Kicking off in the seventh race today, because that includes the stakes race this afternoon. So I thought that'd be a good way to fold in some of the stakes action coming up at Belmont a little bit later on. Seventh race is a $16,000 conditional claimer. Six furlongs is the trip. I have it 7, 8, and 3. East Wing on top. Goes out for Roy Lehrman. Hasn't been seen, took essentially the summer off, excuse me, so hasn't been seen since late June. That's the concern, and you fold that into, comes back at a reduced level. There are question marks that do have to be answered here, but I just thought if this horse can fire a good shot, maybe has an edge on probably most of these. Miss Pepina is actually the morning line favorite, and the back numbers here probably do have the edge on even East Wing. I just thought overall East Wing was maybe a little bit more interesting class-wise than Miss Pepina, but they both maybe have some question marks. Miss Pepina claimed up at Saratoga for $25,000 and comes back for $16,000. That is also a little bit of a chin scratcher. So again, these two, if they're on form, probably have an edge and maybe could be flip-flopped one way or the other. but there are those questions to be answered. So Bustin' My Groove maybe becomes an alternative. This one, on the other hand, claimed for 16 last time, comes back for the 16, ran decently. You know, the workouts seem to be okay leading into this, the one workout that's showing on the page since the claim. Does get a five-pound apprentice, though, so again, there's a question mark there. So it's an interesting way to start out your late pick four. Cherokee Song is another one that takes a drop and has some back class, back numbers, but that one's going turf to dirt and seems a little bit better on turf. So it's just one of those races where there are probably more questions than answers about plenty of these. But in the seventh, I have it 7, 8, and 3. Eighth race at Belmont, mile and a 16th on the grass. For starter allowance types, I have it 8, 2, 1, and 11. The number 8, Command Point, goes out for George Weaver. Good second place finish last time in a similar event. Should have the horse set up nicely to, you know, run well this afternoon. Looks kind of primed off the last couple of starts for a good effort in this type of a race. Ocean Air in the second slot claimed two starts back. Tried this company last time, a close-up fourth behind the top pick, Command Point, but close enough that these two are pretty evenly matched. Lido Key in the third spot. This one also a close-up second last time, but in a $40,000 claimer. So class-wise, this is maybe a little bit of a saltier bunch this afternoon. So Lido Key certainly deserves to be in the conversation, but there is the class question mark. And Exotic West goes out for a trainer, Gary West. Goes out for trainer Gary Siaka. Shooting for career victory number 1,000. And like a lot of these milestones, you get trainers or jockeys who come up to the milestone and it just seems like take forever to get over the hump. So we're rooting for Gary to break through here. But Exotic West, I think, is a player with this bunch and maybe is the horse that breaks him through. I think this one is a touch behind my top three, but just a touch. Literally was behind my top two in the last race. As I say, Command Point was a close-up second. Ocean Air, a close-up fourth, and this one was fifth, but only a length behind. So, again, if you like the top two, Exotic West belongs in the conversation as well. So we'll wish Gary Siaka good luck with that one and see if he can get that. And that's a pretty good milestone. 1,000 victories for the career is pretty good on the resume. In the ninth race at Belmont, as I said earlier, stakes action today at Belmont is the point of entry, $100,000. For the turf runners going a mile and a half. I'm going to go 2, 5, 1, and 3. I thought Shamrocket, you know, number-wise would look to have a little bit of an edge. Certainly has shown some ability going marathon-type distances. So went a mile and an eighth last time, but I don't think the mile and a half is going to be any kind of a problem because this horse typically has run well at, as I say, longer distances, mile and a quarter, mile and three-eighths, mile and a half. So I think this horse began a little bit of an edge on this bunch. Beacon Hill comes in some pretty good form for Michael Metz. This one, as opposed to the top pick, however, is maybe a little bit more of a question mark as far as the distance. This horse hasn't gone over the 9 furlongs so far in the career, but again, comes in good form, having won 2 of the last 4 starts, close up. Third last time down at Keeneland earlier in their meet. Now comes to New York to try this little stakes race out of the Fair Hills base. But again, that last quarter of a mile, that last furlong is going to be a little more of the question mark for that one. Otherwise, I might have tilted in the direction of Beacon Hill. Tide of the Sea in the third spot for Mike Maker. Comes out of a nice mile and a half turf stakes win down at Laurel last time. Tried a mile and a half. Prior to that at Kentucky Downs, didn't run so well there. Won the Laurel Stake last time, but was well up the track in the stake at Kentucky Downs. But that, I would think, was a saltier bunch. It definitely was a saltier bunch than obviously the horse faced at Laurel, but I think also facing today. Bluegrass Parkway, you could make a case there as the other Mike Maker runner. Jose Ortiz on board, and this one also has a little bit of oomph at the longer kind of marathonish distances. Tried the Canadian International last time, and again, that was probably that grade one up at Woodbine was probably a little saltier than this group this afternoon. Should be a better fit. So in the ninth at Belmont, 2, 5, 1, and 3. And finally, we'll wrap it up at Belmont this afternoon and wrap up the pick four, the late pick four as well. In the 10th race, 5:23 is the scheduled post time. State bred maiden claimers going 3/4 of a mile at Belmont in the 10th. I have it 4, 2, 8, and 5. The number 4, Suit of Honor, lightly raced, and boy, that race two back certainly jumps off the page number-wise, and it was a decent little third-place finish. It's bookended by a couple of races that aren't quite as exciting, but moves maiden special weight to maiden claiming, and with a couple, you know, the race two back and the debut effort even, I think stack up pretty well with this group. So I'm going to tilt in that direction for the Brad Cox trainee. Remember Mom in the second spot comes in pretty good form, having dropped to this level last time and ran a good second place finish. That was at a mile. So you combine that kind of proven performance at the level with a little cutback this afternoon. I like that. So we'll put Remember Mom in the mix. And then Distract and Attack in the third slot. Has had plenty of opportunities. 10 starts, hasn't gotten it done yet. But just looking at this field, I think Distract and Attack probably fits pretty nicely. Kendra Carmouche riding very well of late also, so that's a bonus. In the 10th and final at Belmont, 4, 2, 8, and 5. All right, there are some ideas. Late pick 4 at Belmont for this afternoon. Again, we'll be back in a little bit later on with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. So we'll have live ideas looking at the odds and whatnot this afternoon as well. So make sure you tune in for that. But for right now, we will take a break, go to a commercial. When we come back, our friend Frank Vespi will join us from theracingbiz.com. They always do a great job of covering racing in the Mid-Atlantic, and that included yesterday coverage and a live visit by Frank to Laurel and the Maryland Millions. So we'll go over some of those Maryland Millions stakes from yesterday right after this. Stay tuned.
The Breeders' Cup World Championships have given us some of horse racing's biggest thrills and biggest payouts, like the $2.7 million Pick Six payout back in 2003. With a long list of betting options, it's never taken so little to win so much. So don't miss your chance to share in Thoroughbred Racing's richest event, the Breeders' Cup. And be sure to go to CapitalOTBBet.com to wager and win.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. As noted before the break, joined now by our friend Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. Frank, good morning.
Morning, Seth. Good to be with you today.
I touted, as I always do when you're on, theracingbiz.com. Great place to follow racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. And that yesterday obviously included Laurel and Maryland Millions Day. Anything else news-wise we should be up on checking out on the Racing Biz, though?
There's been lots of stuff going on the last couple weeks. I mean, you know, obviously there's West Virginia Breeders' Classics. There's Delaware Owners Day. We had lots of coverage of Mario Pino winning a 7,000th race, you know, since he was a Mid-Atlantic stalwart for a long time. You know, lots of different things going on in the Mid-Atlantic racing, and appreciate the tout. And, yeah, if you want to follow Mid-Atlantic racing, we're really the only ones focusing on it on a day-to-day basis. So,
and I do note also when we're in here and we're doing the afternoon handicapping show and we're covering tracks like we did yesterday, Laurel, the Racing Biz is on the selections page too. I like that. To throw the Racing Biz picks into my thoughts.
No, we have daily handicapping of Laurel on theracingbiz.com and weekly of Charlestown. We got some parks in Delaware, so a lot of different handicapping stuff going on. And we had a podcast this week, Handicapping Maryland Million, where we had Derby Bill Watson. And if you haven't listened to Derby Bill, you need to. It's kind of a treat. He's I think they broke the mold when they made Derby Bill.
I've had Derby Bill on a couple of times, and yes, he's a character. So that is a fun show when you can talk to Derby Bill. No question about it. And you mentioned Mario Pino. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, and yesterday I had pulled up the Equibase stats. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, the 7,000. You know, congratulations to him, certainly. But then, you know, to look and realize, and as I say, I pulled up the Equibase stats, he's sitting number 10 on the all-time list now. Just, as again, phenomenal, that number of winners.
Yeah, it's been amazing achievement. And particularly, you know, like Russell Bayes was, you know, 3 to 5, eight times a day at Golden Gate. Pino never was. You know, he was always riding in competitive races and competitive circuits. And he, for 25 consecutive years, he made over 1,000 starts, which is, you know, to go that long without serious injury is astonishing. And the guy was a terrific rider. And it was a fun story because, you know, he was going to retire, and apparently Wesley Ward kind of said to him, you need to get to 7,000. He was like 40 short. You know, you need to just get there so you don't leave anything on the table. So he said, okay, I'm going to ride at Presque Isle Downs. And he got to the last week. He got to the last 4 days of racing there, 5 wins short. And then he's kind of saying, you know, over the last several years, he's just ridden a little bit of Gulfstream to get in shape, Presque Isle, and that was it. So then he's going, what am I going to do if I'm at like 6997 and Presque Islands? Am I going to go to, you know, Maryland and ride a little bit till I get it? Am I going to go away and then come back next year? So he was really kind of betwixt and between, but fortunately he made it easy by getting the wins that he needed. So
yeah.
Congratulations.
Very good. And I had Dave Rodman on yesterday kind of previewing the Maryland Millions races, and I talked a little bit about fun apprentice showing up in Maryland too. I love the name Bryson Butterfly, and Dave said he kind of was walking in the other day and met him and his mom and the mom's dog, I guess. And but he said Bryson maybe an interesting guy to watch. And I mentioned that, you know, Maryland over the years has been a real breeding ground for apprentices, but Dave made the great point, boy, it's a tough colony now for an apprentice to kind of make noise with, but we'll be watching this guy.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think a couple things. You know, one is that Maryland trainers have always been, and this isn't true everywhere, but Maryland trainers have always been open to apprentices.
Yeah.
You know, they give apprentices a shot, which not everybody does. And then the other thing, of course, that helps is where Maryland is located. You could ride there. You could run out to Charlestown, ride at night, Penn National, ride at night. Different tracks are close by on dark days. So there's a lot of opportunity in the region if you start to get a little bit of traction to win a lot of races. And in fact, Pino was runner-up for the Eclipse Award as a champion apprentice in, if you could believe this, 1979.
That's incredible. But, yeah, if you go down through the years and look at the the Apprentice Eclipse Awards winners and then, you know, pull in where they were racing. A lot of them over the years, you know, going back a couple of decades, going back to a guy like Mario Pino, were based down at Maryland. All right, let's jump in. Maryland, speaking of Maryland, Maryland Racing, Maryland Millions Day yesterday, the brainchild. We talked about it again with Dave of Jim McKay. And I said, boy, I bet a lot of people who are new to the game don't remember, you know, Jim McKay started the Maryland Millions. And then I was kind of thinking, I'll bet you a lot of people who are new to the game don't remember Jim McKay. And if you don't remember Jim McKay, he was a very prominent figure on ABC, sports figure on ABC, but also a lover of the horse racing game.
Yeah, he was a lover of the racing game. He was you know, probably the thing most people would remember him, you know, at least those of us who are old enough to remember him, was he anchored their Olympics coverage for a number of years. And was, in fact, the anchor during the 1972 with the hostage taking and his famous line, you know, when it was learned that several of them had been killed, was, "They're all gone."
Yeah, that's right.
So that was kind of a famous thing. But as regards Maryland Million, yeah, the story goes he came back from Breeders' Cup, and he thought, gee, why can't we do this in Maryland? And he went to Billy Boniface, who owns Bonita Farm and who trained Deputed Testimony to win the Preakness in 1983. He said, "Billy, why couldn't we do this in Maryland?" And Billy said, "You know what? I think we could." And that was kind of the genesis. And in fact, McKay won a Maryland Million race with a horse named for his son, a horse named Sean Sferrari.
Oh, yeah, that's, now that you mentioned it, I remember that. Yeah, very good. All right, let's get to yesterday's Maryland Millions. First, give us the setup. You know, I'm always curious over the past year and a half or so, what was the crowd like, weather and whatnot?
Yeah, so the weather was interesting, you know, because Friday was gorgeous. So I woke up Saturday morning, looked out the window, it was kind of overcast, and I was thinking, where's my nice weather? You know, it's Maryland Million Day. We've got to have nice weather. And the sun kind of came and went, but it was generally nice, and I mean, it didn't rain or anything, so that's always great. And you know, the sun was a little bit in and out, but overall it was nice. Crowd wise honestly, it was a big step up from what we've been seeing in the last, you know, say 2 months here. It's not what it, you know, this was not the Maryland Million crowd of pre-pandemic, to be honest. But it was nice to see people back at the track, you know. I mean, I don't know what it's been like in New York, but crowds have been kind of light in Maryland since we came back sort of full bore, you know, after Timonium. So it was nice to get a big crowd, you know. Everybody in the Maryland industry comes out, so you're just kind of bumping into people as you walk around. I bumped into King Leatherberry, the Hall of Famer King Leatherberry was there. He didn't have any horses in, but he was just kind of hanging out. He's 88 years old. He's still got a couple that he's training. I bumped into Donnie Miller, who was the jockey on Deputed Testimony in the 1983 Preakness. So, you know, you just kind of walk around, just keep bumping into people who are sort of prominent in Maryland racing. So it's a really cool day. I mean, I've often said, the Preakness is great, and it's all these people come from out of town, and it's really fun, and it's vital to the Maryland industry, no question. But this is kind of like the party you throw for your friends and family in the backyard. You know, it's like everybody you really love is here, everybody you care about is here, and nobody's pretending. There's no pretension. Everybody's just having fun. And so just a really nice day kind of for the home team.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, let's jump in and get some recaps of the action, and let's kind of work our way back from the highlight. The Maryland Millions Classic went off as race 11 yesterday, 9 furlongs the trip. The favorite was number 8, Tap and Cat, at 3-5, and not surprising, coming off a couple of nice wins at Delaware most recently, and did it with buyer numbers that kind of had an edge, and I think bettors really concentrate a lot on buyer numbers these days. So again, not surprising that one was the 3-5 favorite, but kind of taking them all the way around, Prendimi for Louis Carvajal, Coming off a well-beaten fifth-place finish last time over at Parks, but comes over, goes to the lead, and takes them all the way around. We're going to watch the stretch duel here, and it, you would think at 3-5, Tap and Cat is going to go by, but no. Prendimi says, I'm getting this, and I'm going to take them all the way, and winds up prevailing by a neck. Nice win for Prendimi at 12-1 over the 3-5 favorite.
Yeah, this was a big effort. You know, one of the things I think that as a handicapping matter, folks should really pay attention to at Law right now is track has been speed favoring. It's basically been speed favoring for this entire meet. And if you look at the charts from yesterday, the only horses on the lead that got beat were like 50-1, and they came in second. You know, so you really needed to be in front or very close to it. This was a big effort. This horse set honest fractions. He was pressed early by Ain't the Beer Cold, got rid of that one, but then Tapping Cat was looming up, and Tapping Cat had a good quarter, even maybe 5/16ths to go by and couldn't get by. And, you know, talking with Carvajal afterwards, he kind of said, I said, you know, this horse came in, he's kind of off form. He really hadn't run well. He said, you know, horse is really challenging. He said, you know, he doesn't work hard in the mornings. You look at his works, he goes 5-104, 4-52, you know, and he's like, it's just like some days he shows up and he's feeling really good and then he runs big like today. And he said, today I thought he would run big because he just seemed to really be feeling good, but I didn't really expect that. So a big effort. This is a horse who's shown this ability before, just not on a consistent basis, but he brought it yesterday.
As I say, he was fifth in the prior race at Parks, but he'd been facing some state breds over at Monmouth. And just to reiterate for folks who maybe weren't watching yesterday, because we talked about it with Dave Rodman, Maryland Millions, people maybe think it's like a Maryland bred thing, but it's a Maryland sired kind of a thing. So Prendimi is a New Jersey bred, but a Maryland sire.
Correct. He's by Dance with Ravens. And that's also why in both the sprint and the classic, there were a number of horses on the also eligible list that didn't draw in, even though there were only eight in the main body. Maryland breds only draw in if the number of Maryland sire goes below eight. So
right.
Maryland breds only draw in to keep field size at eight.
Yeah,
so those horses couldn't get in.
Yeah, I had Dave kind of explain that yesterday because it is a situation that's a little bit different than maybe some of these state bred big days around the country. And when you look at those AEs, you kind of wonder what's going on, but that's the situation. All right, let's take a look at the Maryland Millions sprint. And again, a big favorite goes down with the second place finish. It is Double Crown at 4-5, who will run second to number one Air Token, who pulls away to win by 2.25 at 7-1. Valued Notion, the number two at 35-1, runs third. But again, another little bit of an upset in the sprint. It is Air Token getting it done under J.D. Acosta.
Yeah, I mean, this was a race. I didn't really much like Double Crown in this spot. I thought he was kind of wildly overbet at 4-5, trying to run out of last place, which is what he ended up doing, was, you know, as I just mentioned, not a winning strategy on the day. This is another example of Valued Notions, 35-1, goes straight to the lead and sticks around to the end, gets beat a couple lengths for all of it, finishes third. You know, clearly speed really killed on this day. And Air Token, good trip under J.D. Acosta. J.D. won a couple. And both he and the trainer, Jose Corrales, basically said, look, this horse has speed, but we don't want him in the lead because he wants to chase. So, you know, they kind of broke well and put him just off the speed. And then when he made his move, he was best.
And you talk about speed on the track. We talked a little bit about it yesterday with Dave Rodman. But the track, there was an extended period over at Pimlico because they were redoing the surface. So, I mean, I'm guessing the speed is maybe a function of the redone surface. And as you've talked to people over the past few weeks, what is the reaction to the new surface?
People are generally seem to be happy with it. I mean, I think there was a little bit of a breaking in period, you know, where people were kind of getting the hang of it. And I think there's a feeling, you know, as I've said, that a feeling that it is playing to speed maybe a little too much, and you'd like to see it a little more fair for horses sort of all over the course, but it appears to be playing safe, and that's the most important thing. And when you stand, like if you stand at the rail, it's amazingly quiet. You're not hearing the thump of the horse, you know, when the horses hit the ground. It's a pretty quiet track. And so in general, I think people are happy. People are happy to have racing back, and people are happy that their horses are coming back sound and happy. So
yeah,
that's the main stuff.
Always seems to be a benefit when tracks do those big rehabs and get down to the cushion and whatnot. So things are working out at Laurel in that fashion. All right, let's go a little bit earlier. Maryland Millions Turf. Our friend Gary Contessa. Gary, last year, before he got back into the training game, last year, 2020, up at Saratoga, he was recording some interviews for our morning program. We would plug those in. So happy to root for Gary now that he's gotten back, kind of based at Delaware, but brings over the 7-year-old Some Kind of Magician. I like Street Copper in here. The number 7 will run third for Mike Trombetta. Dave Rodman yesterday thought John G was interesting, and that one at 6-1 runs second. But, man, this is a nice finish. They will ding-dong it down to the wire, and it's just a nose victory for Some Kind of Magician. The 5 over the 4 with the 7 running third. As they say, this is one of really the better finishes of the day.
This is some kind of horse race, right? I mean, you got 3 of them that are within a head. And then Cannon's Roar just another half length back, so you got 4 shots or really even more than that. This is actually if you're watching replays, you want to of course watch the whole thing, but you particularly want to watch sort of into the final turn and all the way home, because what's really interesting here is if you watch Some Kind of Magician starts a wide move. Benny Havens comes rolling up outside of him and goes by him and actually sort of comes over in front of him. So he has to kind of tip out to the outside of Benny Havens. Then John G comes rushing up outside of him and goes by him as well. Then he rallies in between horses and he just gets up at the wire. I mean, this is a horse that gave every indication that he was beaten a couple different times and comes back to win. So it's really a wild finish, and it's a terrific horse race. It's pretty interesting. You know, Contessa has said that it took him a little while to figure this horse out, and now they feel like they do, and now they feel like he's just a happy horse. And certainly showing in his results, he's been running nothing but good races the last couple months. And I had talked earlier to Nick Beaver, who is Belle Gable, he and his wife, Delora, of Belle Gable Stable, who own this horse, and they said last year they just couldn't. He's a horse that kind of likes what he likes. He likes things the way he likes them. He likes to kind of be in a rhythm of how things go. And they just couldn't get him in a rhythm. You know, they couldn't find turf races. They couldn't get consistent starts. And so he just never quite got in the rhythm, and he just didn't have a good season. But this year they've got him in a really nice rhythm. He's won a couple of stakes now. He's won a couple other races and continued to run good races. So they really have this horse just where they want him.
Yeah, I heard Gary in the Winner's Circle saying over the years he's had horses like this who, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 just kind of get good. And this is certainly one of those, having won, 4 of the last 5 starts, including yesterday. And as you were talking about the stretch run, we were watching the slow-mo replay coming down the stretch, and that was quite some trip for Some Kind of Magician. Had to live up to his name a little bit, make a little magic happen there in the stretch, as there were a couple of points where you thought, he's not going to get through, and then just gets up at the wire. All right, let's go one race earlier, the Maryland Million Nursery. Always love the 2-year-old races on days like this. You get nice full fields and maybe some horses to watch going forward. And I'll tip my cap to Dave Rodman yesterday, who liked Buffalo. 6-1 on the morning line, came down slightly, 5-1, but still you got a nice price for a horse that on the front end took them all the way around. Coastal Mission runs second, Local Motive runs third in here. But again, in a nice full field, maybe a 2-year-old to keep our eyes on for Claudio Gonzalez, Buffalo gets it done in the nursery.
Yeah, this was another just a wide open race, and another case where a horse went to the lead and just never stopped and had been, you know, was pressed pretty much all the way around, but kind of drew away late to win. And first Maryland Million Stakes win for the jockey there, Charlie Marquez, who's a teenager. So that was pretty exciting for him. And if you watch from the gate here, you'd see the mission that they're on. I mean, he is hustling right out of the gate to get to the lead with this horse, and that turned out to be the successful approach. And horse kind of draws away. An interesting thing, I was talking with another handicapper yesterday who was pointing out that this was a horse on the turn back. He had just run a mile at Monmouth, and I kind of think the added fitness might have helped there quite a bit, because even though he didn't run well at Monmouth, when Coastal Mission, who sat what should have been a perfect trip, came up to him in the lane, he put that one away and was drawn away at the end again. So a little bit of extra fitness probably mattered. Claudio had two in this race. He also had Shady Money, and Angel Cruz who's his go-to rider, had gotten off Buffalo to ride Shady Money. And I asked his assistant before the race, you know, what that was about, like basically saying, as a handicapper, should I be taking note of this? And he essentially said, no, not really, because the rider really likes to ride for the owner, Bob Bone, who owns Shady Money. So that was really kind of the main thing there. So
I always say those.
Anyway.
The jockey thing, we just don't know some of those. You look, and as a handicapper, you go, oh, he picked this one over this one. And then you hear all the stories, and it's like, I don't know how much to read into some of those situations.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Seth, I mean, there's so much going on behind the scenes that if you know it, that's huge information.
Yeah.
But if you don't know it, it could be a little hard to determine what things mean.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you can suss out the information legitimately, it can help you. But to read the crystal ball sometimes, that's what you're doing. You're kind of reading the crystal ball. You're just taking a guess a lot of times. All right, let's go to the Maryland Millions Distaff. Really wanted to show this one as well, because this was one of the performances on the day. Boy, this is a really nice horse. Hello, Beautiful goes out for Matticat and Company. Brittany Russell continues to win at a high percentage down there in the Mid-Atlantic. Hello, Beautiful came into yesterday, 8 wins in 9 starts at Laurel, 9 wins in 17 starts overall, but she looked just phenomenal yesterday. Goes off at 1-5, lives up to that, wins by a chart margin of 3.5 lengths. Malibu Beauty second. Street Loot, who is a nice little runner in her own right, runs third in here. But boy, what a performance from Hello Beautiful.
Yeah, she's just terrific. I mean, there just aren't enough good things to say about this horse. I mean, she, as you said, she's now 9-10 at Laurel. She just became, with this win, she became the 7th horse to win 3 Maryland Million races in a career. She won the Lassie a couple years back, and now has won the Distaff back-to-back years. And, you know, I mean, she once she went to the lead and got clear and was doing it well within herself, the race was pretty well over. And, I mean, she's just amazing. And Brittany Russell's husband, Sheldon, was her regular rider, but then he got hurt. He had surgery a couple weeks back. I talked to him yesterday. He seems to be doing well. But so Hevion Toledo has picked up the mount, which is a pretty nice pickup mount if you can get it. So, she's terrific.
And as I say, Brittany Russell firing a 35% down there, 26% overall for the year, and Hello Beautiful certainly adding to that, well over $500,000 in the bank for the 4-year-old filly. As you say, won the Maryland Millions Juvenile filly a couple years back, and then this race last year and this year to go back to back, just really a phenomenal Maryland-based runner. Let's go to the Maryland Millions Turf Sprint. We'll turn the page and take a look at the winner here, another short-priced favorite, the cleverly named Grateful Bread. I like that. Grateful Bread gets it done. Chart margin, a length and a half. Sky's Not Falling runs second at 6-1 as the third choice. Love You Much adds maybe a little bit of value to the trifecta at 23-1. And I'm just looking at the trifecta. Yeah, with the 1-2 shot on top, you were still only looking $35 for 50 cents. But I suppose added a little bit of value there. But again, nice performance by the favorite, Grateful Bread.
Yeah, it's funny. I mentioned our podcast earlier, and we had three. I was hosting three handicappers, and the consensus among the three was you need to try to beat Grateful Bread because he's going to go off real short, and there's no value there. So of course this horse basically wins for fun here. So yeah, this is kind of a neat horse. You know, he's certainly in really good form now. Trainer Madison Myers, she's a young trainer. She was interviewed in the Winner's Circle with her infant, I believe it's daughter. So that was kind of cool. And yeah, fun to see this horse. Nice vocal horse. You know, this race was won by Faya last year. Faya then got purchased for $400,000 and then subsequently died, I believe.
Yeah, but Starcross.
Unfortunate, Faya. But he was a rocket ship. And there have been a lot of good turf sprinters to come through these races. Ben's Cat, Jazzy Idea, Faya, now this horse. So pretty nice company to keep.
Very good. And a couple more races to take a look at before we wind up. The Maryland Millions Ladies. We will take a look at this one, and it will be Epic Idea getting it done. Another favorite, but not a chalky favorite. The betting public was having a little trouble coming up with a favorite here. 7-2 as, again, a lukewarm favorite. Epic Idea gets it done under Dan Santino. Maldives Model runs second. And Judy Blue Eyes, who looked to be making a late run, just couldn't get up closer than third. But Epic Idea, as I say, a lukewarm favorite, gets it done. Chart margin half a length.
Yeah, the kind of neat thing with Epic Idea is she was first past the post in this race last year. It was an objection. The stewards denied it. The trainer of the second place finisher, I think it was Jenny Highway, Del Capuano, appealed that to the State Racing Commission, which 8 months after the race, maybe, overturned the stewards. And so they disqualified Epic Idea to second behind Jenny Highway. So she gets a little bit of redemption here in a second try at this race. She's first past the post this time, and nobody's objecting. So good to see them get that. Michael Merriman, it's the long-standing Maryland racing family, the Merrimans. Also, some in Pennsylvania, Lizzie Merriman. Michael is the son of Ann Merriman. Lizzie and Ann are sisters, as is Katie Voss. So anyway, Merriman's everywhere you look, and a nice win for them here.
And I'm just looking at the chart. That is an interesting story. And I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but the chart says disqualified from purse money, but must have gotten second purse money, right? I mean, it wouldn't have been disqualified.
Is that what the chart says? Yeah.
The chart says disqualified from purse money.
I believe that is incorrect. I believe
not the chart. The PPs. The PP says disqualified from purse money. That's what I mean. But it's got to be. I mean, if there was an objection and the steward said no, we're not going to change the order of finish, the worst that could happen, even on an appeal, would be you'd wind up with the second money.
Yeah. So. No, that's correct. Yes, she was. Just looking at the official chart here, she was disqualified and placed second.
Okay, yeah, it's just the PPs were a little quirky there. All right.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Huh.
Yeah, maybe they just don't have any kind of standard thing to stamp in there, so that was what got put in. But, yeah, it just seemed as you were telling the story, that couldn't have been exactly right. All right, let's finally go again. Two-year-olds on the day, two-year-old fillies in the Lassie, and we will watch number 5, Buff My Boots, get it done. 9-2, My Thoughts at 38-1 was the, rank outsider in the field. Sparkle Sprinkle running third. The favorite, Luna Bell, at 5-2 runs fourth. But Buff My Boots, J.D. Acosta, another win on the afternoon.
Yeah, kind of an interesting story here. So I talked with John Salzman Jr., who's the trainer of Buff My Boots, and his horse and Sparkle Sprinkle had raced against each other 3 weeks ago, and they kind of fought it out for the lead, and they both ended up the track with Buff My Boots finishing ahead of Sparkle Sprinkle. And when I talked to him, he basically said, you know what, we settled who's faster in the early going 3 weeks ago. So I would have done just what he did. So what happened here is Sparkle Sprinkle broke very fast, but when Buff My Boots went up to her, Xavier Perez on Sparkle Sprinkle let her go to the lead. And Salzman said, I would have done the exact same thing because we'd already settled who the fastest horse was. And if we were both going to go for it, we were both going to kill each other. So this gave him his best shot to make one, you know, to come back and then make a run, and gave me the best shot. And so it ended up that they ran, were they 1-2 or 1-3? I can't even remember now. But
1-3.
Yeah, so Sparkle Sprinkle made the big move, made the big challenge in the stretch, but Buff My Boots fought back to win, and then My Thoughts came along and split them. So it kind of interesting, you know, basically he was saying, you know, this is a two-chapter story. We'd already decided part of it in the first chapter, so we didn't have to decide it again here, and the race played out a little differently here because of that, and that's how it played out.
Yeah,
so
that's interesting.
I thought it was kind of an interesting part of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Race strategy and how it plays out. And My Thoughts gets that nice late run to maybe challenge a little bit late. And I saw, you know, you talk about the day, and it's like the party in the backyard for friends and family. I saw the post-race, the Winner's Circle interview. I'm not sure whether it was the owner or the breeder, but, man, there was a lot of enthusiasm. And Naomi Tucker said, you know, what were you thinking down the stretch? And they said, where's the wire?
Yeah.
And I thought it was kind of a fun, quirky interview, but it kind of validates what you said earlier. It's just kind of a fun day for the locals to go and shoot for some nice big purses.
Yeah, it's a big deal for people, you know, and it's in a way, I mean, I think you get it. It's almost hard to explain to outsiders, but like, this is a big deal in Maryland. Like, to win a Maryland Million race is a big deal. And I was talking to a couple stallion owners, you know, who own young stallions who are hoping to make a mark. And I asked them, you know, and I have a story on theracingbiz.com. You know, I asked them, what does it mean? And one of them said to me, you know, you haven't made it in Maryland until you have Maryland Million winners. And he said, it's like a rite of passage. This is a thing you have to do if you're going to be a successful Maryland stallion. So, I mean, it really is a big deal. That was Bird Moberly you're talking about, who's the owner, and her family's been in the game forever in Maryland. And so, you know, and Nancy Heil last year won the sprint, Karen's Notion. And it's just, you know, she was crying. I mean, it's just a huge deal. It really matters to people. So it's cool when you see people like that who are not the high profile people succeed.
Yeah, I assumed that was Bird Moberly, but I didn't catch the beginning of the interview, so I wasn't totally sure. But yeah. she was a lot of fun. She was clearly very enthusiastic about the win. Frank, as always, appreciate the conversation. A lot of fun. And again, a big day down there in Maryland. We wanted to pull you in to do a little recap of it. I'll again tell people I have it up on my computer right here, theracingbiz.com. A lot of great coverage day in and day out of Maryland racing and the whole Mid-Atlantic region. That includes, obviously, a lot of recaps for Maryland Million Day yesterday. But as I say, Frank, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
My pleasure, Seth. Thanks for having me on, and I'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Sounds good. Frank Vespi, again, check out theracingbiz.com for coverage of racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. All right, it's late. I'm down in the four screen now. That's how late it is. So I'm going to wrap things up for Racing Across America on a Sunday morning, but come back in about an hour and a half or so, and we will fire things up for a Sunday afternoon OTB Live, a little Belmont, a little Keeneland conversation, and much, much more. So that should be fun. Tune in for that. Hopefully we toss out some good ideas, and we all cash some tickets. Again, congratulations. Speaking of cashing tickets, congratulations to the Keeneland Syndicate team yesterday, walking away with each over $800 on a $25 investment. The syndicates are always a lot of fun. And again, they're kind of hit and miss. Things have to work out. You have to have the right combination of horses. You have to hope it's a day where there's a big payout like that. That doesn't happen every day. But when things come together like they did yesterday, knock it out of the park. So congratulations to the team. And again, keep in mind, the Breeders' Cup Syndicate team opens on Thursday. There's more people. It's a little bit of a bigger investment, but it's also a bigger swing on Breeders' Cup Day when you can get some of those nice payoffs. So keep that in mind. Breeders' Cup Syndicate opening on Thursday. Check out the website, capitalotv.com, for more information. Don't forget, you can stop by the Racebook today to watch all the racing action and all the football action every Sunday throughout the NFL season right here at 711 Central Avenue in Albany. That's the same spot you can enjoy Breeders' Cup action from if you'd like to. And you can reserve a seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday for $5. Not only do you get a seat, you get a nice little commemorative glass. And as I say, I've seen the glasses. I've held them and looked at them. They're a really nice promotional giveaway, that glass. So that's a little bonus to your $5 reservation. Stop down and visit the Racebook. Give us a call and make your reservation. 711 Central Avenue in Albany for Breeders' Cup Saturday. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back, as I say, in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. See you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.